You just interrupted a party.
Frank Christofferson, Nebraska 24/7 Sports.
I'm all 90s, so you can work on that. They just have not been able to keep the beat.
BC joins us every Friday at this time.
Gary Smith, Dan Jenkins, and I would say me. I wasn't going to pick Nebraska until they won a game, but sort of like someone who's trying to find their shot. You know, you get to the basket a few times, get some easy stuff going your way.
Now you're talking my language, BC. Frank Christofferson, Nebraska 24/7 Sports, who's listening to 90s on 9 when he's not talking to me. Okay.
Face to face, life is beautiful.
Oh, man.
Some I Want It That Way by the Backstreet Boys. Big Papa. Tell me why ain't nothing but a
party. Frank Christofferson, Nebraska 24/7 Sports.
We all know what that music means. It is Friday, and it is 24/7 Zone. Brian Christofferson, BC, how are you, bud?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
You know, my man, it's not too bad. Not too bad of a day. It's pretty nice out thus far. I haven't been outside in a minute, though. It's starting to look like it's getting hotter, so I'm not that excited about that. But what's good in your world?
Just looking at my lawn turning brown, so yeah, I'm going to do something about that.
You didn't do
that time of year.
You didn't do the 4 o'clock in the morning watering of that bad boy to prep her up.
I need to start that. I mean, you gotta have that sort of dedication to your grass. I'm letting it down. I'm like a coach who hasn't done his due diligence for his team right now. I gotta help it out.
Coaches that are doing due diligence and one that's got a lot of questions this year is Troy Walters and his receiving crew. BC, I pose the question, what does a successful season for Nebraska's receiving corps look like to you? Do you have to have, can you gauge it and say, hey, Woodyard had 8 catches in this game, went for 120, and Williams did 6 for 95, or what does that look like to you?
Yeah, I don't know what it is specifically by the numbers, but it looks like, to me, a second and third guy who, you know, give you a, you know, maybe the second guy gives you 600, 700 receiving yards, and the third guy's, you know, a couple hundred behind him. And then you've got a nice collection of guys after that are, you know, giving you 150 to 300 for the season. Like, I really think it's got to be a deal where you kind of look at it at the end of the year and you say, you know, Spielman got his, maybe Noah, the new kid, gets, you know, a second in line, and then you feel like, you know, 3 through 6 is solid. Like, you can count on them. They're steady, and if you throw them out there, they know what they're doing. And I think a big part of it is what it looks like off the stat sheet, too. I mean, are those the type of guys who are, you know, wearing out defensive backs with their blocking and making life rugged for them? And those are the guys who are going to play in this offense. I mean, there's so much. I learned this last year watching this offense. There's so much riding on those guys on the perimeter being tough dudes who just, you know, kind of take the soul of the other guy. And that's going to be as big as anything. Like, Mike Williams is a good example. He has a lot of gifts receiver-wise and speed and can run the routes and stuff like that. But he got taken off the field because he had to improve his blocking. And so that's one of the biggest challenges for all those guys.
Do you, at the end of the season, if you say, hey, Nebraska's receivers blocked a lot better this year or had a boatload of yards, which one do you think is a more positive end? I'm in team blocking camp.
Yeah, if I had to pick one, it'd be team blocking. The thing is, they kind of, it will work together, though. Like, if so many of those guys, like, if you can help your brother out, you know, and get the block. Like, say you throw a little screen out there to Wandale, and you're Mike Williams on the outside. You're gonna help Wandale's numbers quite a bit if you get that block, that first block. And vice versa, you know, when you get your shot, if your peer gets the block he needs out there, that's gonna be a big part of it. So, I think if I had to pick one, I think blocking and being physical is tops of the list for me, but I also think when you talk about the yardage and how the numbers come, it'll just happen naturally if those guys are doing their job on the perimeter.
See, and it's an interesting discussion because you're looking at it as them blocking for each other, I'm looking at them as to spring like Martinez or Ramir Johnson or more Washington. Like that was that to me. There were times last year, and I've taken on the masochistic thing of rewatching last year's season and watching the progress game to game through it is unbelievable. But there are so many plays where it's just a little effort or a hustle on a block here, and as the season went on, those started to happen, and those 4-yard runs early in the season became 15-yard runs later in the season. So it'll be there's just so many fascinating storylines to watch in this season. Do you have any one that you're more excited than another?
I like the fact that we know the quarterback situation when we go into fall camp, because I feel like it allows us to actually give the proper attention to all the other important stuff. You know, sometimes what happens when you get a QB competition that's ongoing is it just takes over the whole coverage of everything and what people talk about. And it kind of gets away from all the other things that matter almost as much or just as much, you know. And so I like that we're having that kind of season around here where, okay, you know who the man is at QB. That's something that's just kind of going to be a sidebar in August, actually, at what he's doing. But who's winning on the interior of the line? Who's the starting center? And I think, you know, next week at Big Ten Media Days, it'll be interesting how much Scott Frost can or is willing to say about his own line and how those parts might get moved around in August as they try to figure it out. Like, who are the few guys that they're really looking in at center? Is it possible they move a guard to center? Is it possible Matt Farniak could move from tackle to guard? And what's the timeline on when you decide all that? To me, kind of the question hovering over the O-line and what they do with the interior is probably as interesting as anything.
Well, they've got a bunch of options, too. Like, you could put Sichterman had a nice spring at guard. So if you want to leave Farniak alone, leave Farniak there, put Sichterman at guard, put Wilson to center. Or, you know, I mean, it's. I'm glad you said that because the rumor mill is flying. It's like, oh, this guy's now playing some center because this happened and blah, 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 blah. That will be the juggling of that and then the efficiency of that fall camp, because you just don't walk in and play center. Like, there's a lot to it. Now, I know those guys have probably been practicing it a ton, but until those real games start and you have somebody that's in a different color jersey, that's when you really figure out what you have. So that's one that I don't like to beat into the ground, but putting all those pieces into place is going to be tough for that staff.
Well, it's what I think Greg Austin has the toughest job of any coach, because not only do you have to figure it out, you have to do it in kind of a timely manner, because you need some of those August practices to really say, okay, this is how we're kind of lining up our first five. Let's let these guys get that chemistry. If there is, like, let's say, and I'm not saying this is happening, by the way, I don't know that it is, but let's say you moved a Bo Wilson over, you moved a Farniak to position over, you got to get used to how that looks and how you function off of one another. And so that's where it's a delicate thing, and it's kind of a dance, because you want to experiment a little bit with some pieces maybe, but then there's also got to be a time where you say, okay, the experimentation's kind of done. Here's what we got. Let's let these guys blend together and see where this goes.
Yeah, that You can take as many snaps on air, and we're gonna double team here or scoop block here, but that you get a familiarity. I had a great talk with Chris Dishman and Aaron Taylor about the '96 season when guys got moved around and until it got to the bowl game and it settled back in. He goes, once Taylor moved back to his spot, then it was all back right again. He goes, it was literally, we just fell back into rhythm like Clyde Frazier and Paul Monroe. So to try to generate that over the offseason is going to be, it's a lot harder than people give it credit for. So Austin is definitely up to the challenge. Do you think that's somebody internally that they feel comfortable with moving to tackle? Or you think they're looking at one of the younger kids as just being able to walk in and start playing?
Well, I've always been one to throw the role on Bryce Benhard immediately stepping into it, because that's really hard to do. As a true freshman, it's just, okay, you're starting opening day at right tackle. And so I've always thought, let's just let this go for a few weeks and see. I mean, it's in the back of my mind, though, and I think Craig Austin has been on the record as saying he would love it if he could put Matt Farniok at guard, actually, mm-hmm. like over the long haul. But what he said before the spring was, you know, you got to feel like you're not taking a big drop off at right tackle if you do that. You can't say, oh, this looks nice at guard now, but what about right tackle? You got all these questions.
Yeah.
You've got to have somebody you really, really feel pretty strong about. And, you know, if it doesn't happen for Ben or for a year or two, people need to understand that's the spot where it usually doesn't happen for true freshmen. Brendan Hymus, if you look at the numbers, started more games as a true freshman than any player in Nebraska history a couple of years ago. And that was mostly out of necessity as much as his talent. I mean, give him credit for getting on the field early, but it was also because they just didn't have anything there, mm-hmm. and so they needed him. So, it sounds good, like, man, you could slide Farnie off the guard, got Ben Hart out there. That all, like, in your mind, and if it's a video game, you're like, that's perfect. But it doesn't work like that, as you know. You know, it sometimes takes an 18-year-old some adjustment time, and he's got to get used to what it takes to play at this level.
And it's a refreshing thing, BC, to be able to have this conversation, to be able to say, hey, we have somebody that, because listen, if they didn't feel they had somebody close, the discussion of Farniok going to guard wouldn't even be a discussion. But they probably feel like they got somebody, hey, this could work. And we might as well think about it and try to get to our ideal instead of what we're going to have to do. So, I mean, that just speaks volumes to me about the progress that they've made, because sometimes, like you said, Hymus had to play. There was no other debate about it. You have to go play.
Well, they've recruited well on the line in the last couple classes, and now it's development. I mean, we'll see. There's been other classes in the last 5-6 years where we've looked at it on paper and you said, man, that looks like a good O-line recruiting class. And then the play has kind of been all right, you know, or just that and not any better. And so that's the thing. As good as that class from this last one on the O-line looked, you know, it's going to take some time now. Let's see how these guys fit in. There's some interesting guys like Michael Lynn and Matthew Anderson and stuff. They're going to, I think, be a year or two away still. But the only reason I bring up Ben Hart is because he's just he's a mountain of a man. I mean, he comes in already with size that a lot of guys have to wait to build up, you know. But if you say make your bet, what's the starting line look like against South Alabama? I probably still say Farniak's going to be out there right tackle. And on the interior, it's a tough guessing game, I'll tell you that.
Give me your best rip at a 5. We won't hold you to it, so I'm not writing this down right now and putting your name on it. Not at all.
I'm not going to say. I think that there's some guys who could, like, Trent Hickson could probably take a stab at some center, too. But he did well at guard. I guess if I went down for 5, I'll play the safe route, and I'll say Hymus, Hickson, Will Farniok at center. I think that's a good competition. That's not like inside baseball talk there. It's just like, I think that's my safest bet of what I know. Ben Wilson at guard and Farniok at right tackle. That would be a pretty standard, like, okay, there wasn't much of a shakeup. It's kind of how it left it in spring, and basically Will Farniok on the job. There's other interesting kids, though, like, you know, Hunter Miller. Was a guy who was doing really well, but then had an injury in the spring, and people kind of forgot about him. So I don't know what his status is.
AJ Forbes.
AJ Forbes is very well liked by Greg Austin as a walk-on. Very good in the weight room, and so I mean, he's the same age as those other guys. So you just put it out there that first week or two and say we got to find the best guy here. And then we'll see what it is with Juergens. I know that there's a lot floating out there about him. And that's where I think maybe, you know, we'll see what Scott Frost says next week. Let the head man say what he's going to say about where guys are sitting there.
Yeah, he's got a bunch of questions that are coming, and as I get the chance to do every Friday, it's always an honor to talk to senior writer for Husker 247sports.com, Brian Christopherson, BC. Have a great weekend, my man.
Yeah, it was good as always. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, brother. Yeah, there's this Big Ten Media Day could be interesting. Lots of questions, and we'll see how. And the head man is poised for this. He's prepped for this. He knows what's up. He'll be smooth. He'll be silky smooth in the answers. And we'll all try to dig into, maybe this is what he really means. Can't wait to hear it, though. Can't get here fast enough. Just like this break. We're going to take a break here. We'll come back. More Game Time when we return.